This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Dub Nation.
Many years have passed, filled with titles.
NBA champions.
And new faces.
The Golden State Warriors select James Wiseman.
But now, the voice of the Warriors.
The voice of the Warriors.
Invites you to return to your seats.
Please take your seats.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
30 footer, got it!
Welcome back to the table.
On the exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95.7,
the game.
Here's Tim Roy.
Back for another edition of the Roundtable. I'm Tim Roy. Glad you're with us here on our flagship station. 95.7, the game. Your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. A lot to talk about tonight. And I mean a lot to talk about tonight. I mean, the Warriors are landed in Dallas just a little while ago. Talked to Raymond Ritter, our public relations director, and talked to him a little bit about the upcoming road trip. And we were both talking about, obviously, the story is the center position. Last night, losing to Boston. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But let's look at the center spot first. You know, you have great depth at the beginning of the year when you're heading into the season. Not even into, training camp. But you look at the roster, you've got James Wiseman, who's the number two pick overall in the NBA draft. You have Kevon Looney, who is a very good veteran, and we know how good he is and how good he impacts the game without scoring, without having tremendous eye-popping numbers. So then you have Marquese Chris, who we found out last year is a very good guy in terms of setting screens, being physical. He's got great hops. And so you're thinking, okay, that's a position, though. You know, as James Wiseman gets better and better, you're going to have good depth there. You've got good depth there, guys that do different things for you there. And so I think, one of the, that was a position that probably, Bob Myers and Steve Kerr were not worried about coming into the season. But now this has happened. Marquese Chris, of course, with his injury. Wiseman with a sprained wrist. Kevon Looney goes out with a sprained ankle. Wiseman will be reevaluated in, probably early next week, and then Looney in 2 weeks. And so now you're in a position. Now you've got Draymond Green. You've got Eric Paschal. You've got basically all hands on deck. On the good side of this, from what I can see, what I believe, is that, the road trip features a couple of teams that don't have a dominant center. I mean, if you're on the road trip and you're going into Philly and you're playing Joel Embiid, that's going to be trouble. That is going to be trouble, and he's going to shoot a lot of free throws. But on this road trip, Porzingis plays away from the basket for Dallas. Maxi Kleber plays away from the basket. He's more of a shooter. Willie Cauley-Stein is not a classic post guy. He's not a physical guy that's going to go inside and really try to, punish you in the box. So with that, I think they have at least a fighting chance. I look at Dallas's offensive rebounding numbers today. Not great. You know, their offensive rebounding numbers are not great. San Antonio, you've got LaMarcus Aldridge there, but they're also not a huge punishing team. Jakob Poeltl, though, could give them some problems because he is a very good position player from what I can see. So, a lot of things to talk about. And last night, a winnable game that gets away. That was a winnable game that got away. And so that to me is that's disappointing when you have a game like that and it just kind of gets away from you. 888-957-9570. Hit me up on Twitter at Warriors Vox, Warriors VOX, or you can send me an email, timroy@warriors.com. Do all of that and we'll try to get through this. I've got Andrew Wiggins coming up a little bit later on. He's going to tell us about his adaptation to the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, his defensive numbers continue to impress. I looked up the other day, and he was fourth in the league in contesting three-point shots. And that's important on a team that has been victimized from three so far this year. And last night, and I think it's something to watch for, you know, maybe not even this year, but in future years, if the Warrior roster stays, you know, basically the same. You play a team like Boston. They've got two very good wings, in Tatum and Brown. I think the Warriors have wings that can match up with them on the defensive side in Wiggins and Oubre and Klay Thompson in the future. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch when the Warriors get everybody healthy and get back. Again, you know the numbers, 888-957-9570. That's the number to go with. We've got a couple of things on Twitter I wanted to get to, and Eric wanted to know about the possibility, maybe JaVale McGee, fan favorite, no longer in the rotation in Cleveland. So here's what the little wrinkle about this year that you may not consider. Yes, the Warriors could make a move if Cleveland waived JaVale. They pick him up. They had to waive a player. They could make a trade, or they could trade a player for JaVale McGee. But in this case, I don't think that's going to happen. I'll tell you why. Because we're in the middle of a pandemic, because we have all that going on right now. If you trade for JaVale McGee or anybody, and I'm just throwing JaVale out because that's what the Eric on Twitter wanted to know about and mentioned him because he's a recognizable name in this market. He's a champion with the Warriors. So yeah, any center, pick a center, you know, or any player, pick a player. That player, when he comes to a new team, has to go through quarantine for 6 days. So the question you have to ask yourself is it really worth going through all that when you have Wiseman being reevaluated early next week? You know, make a move, give up a roster spot that maybe you didn't want to give up, and then have to wait 6 days, and then maybe Wiseman's back and whoever that center is not playing, in the rotation. So yes, it's insurance. And I think if we were looking at a different situation standings-wise, I think it would be a different deal. I think it would be much different if Wiseman had broken his wrist. Then I think you'd be looking at the team making a move. But the way it is right now, I just don't think it's going to happen unless they have something, you know, fantastic, you know, coming their way. I know people want to talk trades. And by the way, before I forget, because we've got Andrew Wiggins coming up in a few minutes, but before I forget, how good was Juan Toscano-Anderson last night? How good is that kid to watch and the effort he puts out and just the work he's put in? How much better does his shot look now than maybe it did a year ago? You know, he was talking about, you know, Ron Adams. And why is Ron Adams such a valuable part of the Warriors staff? Well, because he's a teacher. He knows how to go and teach and relate to players. And Juan was talking about, you know, all the coaches that work with him. Aaron Miles helps him out a little bit, and his other coaches. And he mentioned Ron by name as to kind of teaching him some fundamentals in his shot that weren't there when he came to the Warriors. And you can tell the reps are there. Is he going to do that every night? No, he's not going to do that every night. Not right now. Maybe in the future, you know, because we're seeing this all around the league. All of a sudden you have got, you know, Wayne Ellington this year. All of a sudden pops up as this outstanding three-point shooter for Detroit. Guys are putting in the reps. They're putting in the time. They're putting in the work. The coaching staffs are putting in the time working with players. And so I think that was, it was great to see, just great to see. Again, I think that, you know, he's not going to be able to do that maybe on a night-in, night-out basis, but I think there's a place for him. I really do. I think if you have the right combination of players out there, he's going to stand out, and he's going to make hustle plays that are going to help you win games. Clint Azubuike is going to join me a little bit later on. The Warriors color analyst from NBC Sports Bay Area will talk about Andrew Wiggins and the Warriors and what to do without a five on this four-game Texas two-step, if you will. Text from the 925, do you think Oubre will get moved soon because he's on the last year of a deal? You know, trades are trades. You know, I don't want to single out one player, but I think, you know, teams are talking all the time. You know, just like what they went through a week ago. Somebody called and asked about Kelly Oubre Jr. You know, the trades are always tough on players emotionally because they feel like, oh, you guys didn't want me. But on the flip side, if somebody's calling and asking about you, that's because they're interested. That's because they like having you. They like thinking about you on the roster. And so, you know, I think that's, you know, something that would be considered if you have the right deal. Anybody can get traded in this league. Because if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain got traded in this league, then anybody can get traded in the league. So they're always talking. They're always looking for ways to improve. And I think it would be a shame if they weren't doing that. And I think what you see with the Warriors is they're always trying to upgrade the roster. And let's go back to my guest upcoming here in a couple of minutes, Andrew Wiggins. I had a chance to talk to him. And one of the things about that deal that a lot of people, you know, kind of just brushed aside and said, oh, they didn't hold out for enough, was the fact that the Warriors have Minnesota's pick this year. And even if Minnesota finishes with one of the three worst records in the league, there's still a 60% chance that they're going to finish outside the top three. And if it's outside the top three, the Warriors get that pick. And again, when you look at the fit that Andrew Wiggins is on this Warrior roster, and you look at the way he has improved, as I mentioned before, fourth in contesting threes, you know, like 87 going into the game last night. I mean, that's a really good number, and that's a really good you know, situation for the Warriors to have, is to have a good two-way player. You know, now I think the next step is to try to get, you know, that kind of scoring a little bit more consistently from Andrew Wiggins. And we'll talk a little bit about his thoughts on playing with the Warriors. We'll talk about him growing up outside of Toronto. Really nice young man. And I think the Warriors are very happy that they have him, you know, on the roster right now and contributing in a very big way. 888-957-9570. We're going to talk with Andrew Wiggins in just a couple of moments. We're also going to have Kalina Azubuike. That's upcoming in our next segment. A quick reminder that the Warriors, of course, are on the road, and they're taking on Dallas tomorrow. We'll tell you about it, you know, all the details on that. It's going to be a 4:30 start time on the game on Thursday. Saturday in Dallas, it's a 5:30 start time. A 4:30 start time, 5 o'clock air time on the upcoming broadcast. And then Monday and Tuesday in San Antonio, both games starting at 5:30 with a 5 o'clock airtime on right here, 95.7 The Game. Hi, Tim Roy. This is the Warriors Roundtable. Andrew Wiggins is coming up. Kalina Azubuike to boot right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Each and every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable. The table has returned on 95.7 The Game. Now back to Warriors Vox.
A look away three. Oh my goodness. That's ridiculous. You've got to be kidding me.
Tim Roy.
Davis to Edwards. Edwards guarded by Curry. Chased now by Curry off the screen. Pass deflected. There's Wiggins with a steal. Wiggins with a breakaway. One-hand flush right down Broadway. So tell me how this season has gone for you. you know, it looks like from all concerned that you're really starting to find your way with this group. You're learning how to play alongside Steph, and that is not always the easiest thing to do. Tell me how it's going for you, and what would you like to see done better?
Not you.
Hey, we're back on the Warriors Roundtable. You know, one of the things that happens in radio is you occasionally have what they call technical difficulties, and we just had one of those. We're back, and, of course, the Warriors getting ready to play Dallas tomorrow night. And I'm going to let Bobby there just take a second to breathe back in our studios at 95.7. He was doing some yeoman's work there during the break. I can remind you, too, that Dub Nation, the power to select the starters in this year's All-Star Game is in your hands. It's time to dub the vote, sponsored by Verizon. Vote for your favorite Warriors into the All-Star Game today by going to warriors.com/dubthevote. So what we just started to hear, maybe a little snippet, a little tease, if you will, was Andrew Wiggins in the conversation I had. We're going to play that for you now, and when we come back out of that, we'll have Kalena Azubuike from NBC Sports Bay Area to talk about Andrew Wiggins and to talk about the Warriors this year. Thank you for your patience. You're listening to the Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game, your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. Now here is my conversation with Andrew Wiggins, produced by R.C. Davis. Davis to Edwards. Edwards guarded by Curry. Chased now by Curry off the screen. Pass deflected. There's Wiggins with a steal. Wiggins with a breakaway. One-hand flush right down Broadway. So tell me how this season has gone for you. You know, it looks like from all concerned that you're really starting to find your way with this group. You're learning how to play alongside Steph, and that is not always the easiest thing to do. Tell me how it's going for you, and what would you like to see done better?
You know, I feel comfortable, you know, and every day just learning more and more, you know, as I guess you're more comfortable with, you know, the guys, everything that's going on. But I wouldn't change anything, you know. What we're doing, it works, you know, it's proven. So I just got to stay with it, you know, and keep asserting myself.
You do one thing I think it's really incredible. Your timing is exquisite with it, and that is when you have that trail block from behind. McCollum off the screen, weaving, driving by Looney, gets to the rim, blocked by Wiggins from behind. How did you learn how to do that, and how satisfying is that?
I feel like it's just how I recover. You know, it's the ability to get off the floor quick and kind of just, like you said, anticipate. You know, when the ball's been going in the air, when they're trying to make a layup, just find the ball.
What's more satisfying? What's sweeter? Good dunk? Wiggins, right side, goes right around Bertans to the rim. Napier back out of the way, and he slammed it down. Wiggins now with double figures. He has 10. Or that kind of block?
I don't know. It's probably both. You know, both can get the team going with the momentum. The block, I might say the block, just because, you know, stops the team falling. Might lead to, you know, good offense for us.
It's been a really big deal. You know, I know we talked a lot about it when we traded for him, just his length and athleticism, and I think he's really using it defensively. You know, he's pursuing guys on the dribble and challenging shots from behind, blocking shots at the rim, just using his gifts with a lot of energy.
Rejected by Wiggins, who knocked it away off the glass. Curry comes the other way. Curry down the lane. Curry weaving his way. Goes up. Gets fouled. Put him on the line as he scores the bucket on a driving bench shot.
I mean, he's more than capable as two-way Wiggs, as we call him now, and just being able to make his presence felt. I think he really cares about the defensive end and being with us. He's able to kind of show it night after night. And there's an expectation of it now, but he's proven that he can definitely make an impact on that end of the floor, guarding the ball, off the ball, whatever it is. And then offensively, he's consistent in terms of knowing exactly where he's going to get his looks and putting pressure on the defense, getting downhill. He's obviously making his open threes. He's made some really big plays. The Clipper game, he's stepped up. And in the Detroit game, he basically won it for us in the fourth quarter. So he's shown that he's ready for those type of moments. I mean, I think his confidence is only getting better in terms of what he's asked to do and how he can help us win games.
When you look at the roster, you and Mr. Young, Mr. Wiseman, have a lot in common, both drafted very high in the lottery. Have you had a chance to talk to him about that and how to deal with that as a very young player coming in this league?
I told him before, With more experience, you know, the more games you play, the more comfortable you'll be. You know, you're looking at a guy that didn't play, you know, much in college because, you know, certain situations, whether it's circumstance or whatever happened. You know, so he's basically coming out of high school, right?
Yeah.
So and he didn't have a really good training camp, I guess, with all the COVID and stuff that was going on. So what he's doing right now is great. You know, the way he's picking stuff up, the way he's learning. And every game, you see him getting better and better. Figures everything out. You know, he's going to be scary. You know, he doesn't even know how good he's going
to
be.
Curry, bounce pass to the cutting. Wiggins goes down to Wiseman baseline. Another two-hand slam.
Yeah, he's pretty long, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're talking with Andrew Wiggins here on the Roundtable. I'm Tim Roy here on our flagship station, 95.7 The Game. Warriors basketball tomorrow night. What is Vaughan, Ontario like? What kind of suburb is that of Toronto?
It's a big, you know, diverse city. It's the city above Toronto, where I was, you know, raised most of my life. Friends and family up there. You know, so that's what I call home.
You know, it's interesting because you are one of a number of great Canadian players in the NBA right now. You know, how did that start, do you think? How did that surge begin of Canadian players, you know, learning the game and learning how to play the game at a very high level?
I feel like in Canada, we always had a lot of talent. I just feel like it was getting to, you know, America to be seen kind of the problem. But I feel like as AAU picked up, as, you know, international basketball picked up, and even guys like Tristan, Corey, Dylan Brown, guys like that, that kind of opened the gates for us younger guys. I feel like that helped a lot.
Did you have someone that you wanted to emulate when you were growing up?
I like Kobe, AI, and Vince Carter was like a hero back where I'm from for everything he did back in Toronto.
Your mom was an Olympic athlete, right? Correct? A sprinter?
Yeah.
And they named a park after her, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What was that like, having going by a park and knowing it's named after your mom?
Oh, no, it was great, especially, you know, growing up. Where I lived was literally 15-second walk from the entrance of the park. So it was great, you know, it's going to be in that family forever. You know, my mom worked hard for that. I was getting proud to call her my mother. You know, apparently she thought me just, you know, even her work ethic for the stage and then going to Olympics and accomplish everything she accomplished. So she deserved everything. You know, I love it.
Your dad was an NBA player, Mitchell Wiggins. For those who are a little bit older, might remember his play in the NBA.
Jordan, the double team comes from Otis Thorpe and the steal by Wiggins. Rebound, Houston, Buck Johnson, the tip by Wiggins.
Mom is a great athlete, but I'm curious, growing up, when in your household, what was the emphasis on? Obviously, you have the good genetics for an athlete with your mom and your dad, but what was the emphasis like? What was it like growing up in Toronto, and what did your mom want you to focus on?
They let me be a kid, you know, most importantly. I fell in love with basketball from a young age. I've got two other brothers, Mitchell and Nick. And they both played basketball, so I was always, you know, looking up to them, looking up to my dad when they were playing basketball. I'd be at the park all day, so I fell in love with the sport very early. So I would focus on basketball, but I would still, you know, be with my friends, hanging out, having fun, you know, and just enjoying my childhood. They never pressured me or demanded that. I gotta go do this. I work on that. You know, let me be a kid.
I'm curious sometimes in a player's journey as to when this happens. At what point in you had success in Canada? Now you're recruited at the collegiate level at a great program in Kansas. Now, at what point did you realize that life in the NBA was possible for you?
I would say when I got to the States. My senior year, I was in the States high school. I was on the one in the country and had, you know, a lot of offers and I had some buzz, you know, and I was like, wow, they really might come true. Let's just keep working, keep my head on straight, stay focused.
With the first pick in the 2014 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Andrew Wiggins.
tell me your thoughts about being here. I know it's tough with the pandemic, but your thoughts on playing with the Warriors and the organization.
I'm happy here. You know, I think my journey has led me here. There's a lot of opportunity here. The city's great. People are great. Teammates, coaches, coaching staff. Everybody, it's all positive energy here, so you know, I love it.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to be in a big game, be at Chase Center, and have fans in the stands, and have that place rocking. I can't wait for that for you, because that day's coming, and I'm telling you, it's gonna give you goosebumps. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Andrew, I know that it's going to be a lot of fun for you with this team, and I know that you've been working hard on your defense. You can see that with your numbers. You're working in the flow of the offense, which is great to see, and I know that there's going to be some really good times for you ahead and some times that the Warriors are going to come to cherish as well. So it's great to have you on board with Golden State, and we look forward to watching your continued success.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Andrew Wiggins, a very nice man, as you can tell by that interview. He's just a really, really good guy. And I think Warrior fans are going to come to appreciate him, because he's just such a, you know, he's mild-mannered. He's not pound the chest, look at me kind of guy. And he's really, really good. And then sometimes I think he doesn't even know how good he is. And to help me break down that, and also all things Warriors and NBA, it is a pleasure to welcome. And by the way, you can hit us up with questions, calls, 888-957-9570. Get on the text line. I can relay your questions for Kalena, if you will. Kalena Azubuki joins us from NBC Sports Bay Area. And Kalena, I know you got to hear the last 45 seconds or the minute of the Andrew Wiggins interview. And before I ask you a question, we get Draymond Green to chime in a little bit about the improved defense from Andrew Wiggins.
He's really competing on that end. You know, I think since he's been here, he's shown, you know, that he's a very capable defender, and he's taken at it, you know, up a couple notches, you know, this year, which has been great for us. You know, he's really changing the game on that end for us.
Well, there's no doubt about that, and I think it was evident last night, Kalena. You know, we were talking on the radio side that here are the Warriors with Oubre Jr. and with Wiggins. Now you got a couple of wings that can, you know, try to turn Tatum and Brown into volume shooters. How did you see that?
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the things for me that's been so impressive with Andrew Wiggins is he's a really smart defender, high IQ defender. It's one thing to have the physical tools, the length, the athleticism, the lateral quickness, but to have the IQ to go with it is really a great combination. And with him, he can be beat. I always talk about it. He can be beat on the drive, and he's good with that because he knows he's not going to get blown by. He's going to stay with it because he's quick enough and athletic enough. But then with his length, he can recover. And a lot of times he can block shots. If you look at the top shot blockers in the league, he's still the only guy at the top of the list that is not a center. So you think about that, and then the want to. He has the want to and the wherewithal to be a great defender. And I think it's great positive peer pressure on this team with guys like Draymond Green, who will hold him accountable. And he knows that he needs to go hard on that end for this team to be successful. So he's been a revelation on that end, and he's a bona fide two-way player now. And obviously last night he didn't have his best game offensively when it comes to the three-point shooting, but he's been steady on that side as well, and you expect him to stay there offensively. But if he can continue to do what he's doing defensively with the high IQ and the effort plays he's making and the shot blocking, the rim protection, and blocking all kinds of different shots, fighting over ball screens and continuing to fight and come from behind and break up plays and block shots and alter shots, that's huge. And you said he and Kelly Oubre on the wings, that's a really lethal combination. And once you get into some kind of a rhythm offensively, that can really help you, because obviously with this Warrior team, you're trying to get out in transition. And to do that, you'd love to get stops and get some deflections and force turnovers. And we've seen when they've been able to do that, they've been really effective getting out in transition. And especially guys like Kelly Oubre, he loves running the floor and getting ahead of the break, and they love throwing it ahead to him. He's super athletic and he's got the monster dunks and all that. He got another really good dunk, nice dunk last night too, where he bodied somebody. I forget who it was, but super athletic wing. So they're doing work on the defensive side. I just like that they want to play defense, because it's tough to really teach a guy or make a guy play defense when he doesn't really have the want to, and that's a big part of it for me. So obviously Andrew has that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you know he has the ability to do that, but we've seen it. We've seen, you know, and I'm sure you've played with guys that could be great defenders, but really don't have much interest in it on the other side of the ball. We're talking with Kalen Azubuike. I'm Tim Roy here on the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. You're home for Golden State Warriors basketball. 888-957-9570. Hit me up on Twitter at Warriors Vox. That's Warriors VOX. Clinton, how do you view these four road games? And of course, we would all love to be, you know, in a normal situation, traveling with the team and being there in Dallas. But, you know, you look at these games, and I was saying at the top of the show that maybe they caught a little bit of a break with the schedule in this regard, because, let's face it, they could also get swept here, but they're not playing teams that have dominant big men. So, I mean, the guy you worry about posting in Dallas is Luka Doncic. But, you know, so maybe, you know, if they have a chance maybe to steal a couple here and maybe have a decent road trip.
Maybe you think about the fact that the Warriors don't have true fives on their team anymore with all the injury. That's rough. But you're right. Kristaps doesn't really try to bully people. He likes to play on the perimeter. He's a pick-and-pop guy. He'll drive from the three-point line or from the mid-post area and get to the rim. But when it comes to rebounding, the Dallas Mavericks aren't really killing teams when it comes to the offensive boards, at least. Now, Kristaps, he doesn't really get offensive rebounds either. So I agree with you. When it comes to the Mavericks, you wouldn't think that would be an issue, but I've seen it to where it can still show up in teams that aren't really focused on the rebounding, all of a sudden perk up and go, oh, wait, they don't have bigs? Let's see if we can crash the offensive boards and really kill them there. Hopefully the Mavericks aren't able to do that. But as this Mavericks team, they're super hungry, and that's the one thing I don't feel bad for the Warriors, because obviously you just got to play in front of you, but I would have loved to see, if I was the Warriors, I would have loved to see the Mavericks win one of these last six games. They lost six in a row, and they're super hungry for a win. And I watched the last game where Luka missed the last shot. It was like a step back. He was going away from the basket, two defenders all over him. It was to win the game, I believe. And he was so upset, man. He was frustrated. He was pounding the scorer's table. So they're going to come in super hungry, and if you're the Warriors, you have to match that intensity. I think getting off to a great start in really all these games is going to be key, and then your defense has to travel because, again, offensively, they're going to be up and down. I thought last game against Boston, there were times where the lack of chemistry showed up, weird lineups. At times they were taking shots I thought Boston wanted them to take. Defensively, there are times where they're sloppy and a little behind, a step behind at times. I thought the lack of size showed up in different ways. 16 second chance points for Boston. They're a pretty good offensive rebounding team. There's one where Tice actually posted or just sealed his man. It was under out of bounds. He just sealed his man. Tice isn't even like a big five, and he was doing the Warriors like that. So I think rebounding is going to be just a default thing we'll be watching with this road trip, especially as the Warriors are thin and worse than thin up top. But defensively, that has to be a constant, especially on the road. And then just having some kind of flow offensively with the weird lineups, just playing together, obviously looking for Steph. The great thing is Steph is playing really well. And he was the Warriors' leading rebounder last game, along with Draymond Green. I think everybody has to have the mentality of the gang rebound. Steph has to get in there. I think Andrew Wiggins has to get more. Kelly Oubre has to get more. I think he only had maybe was one last game or something like that. So all the guards and the forwards have to get in there and just gang rebound and make it a team effort. So teams especially teams that aren't normally good on the boards or offensive boards aren't killing you there. And then just give yourself a chance to win. Remember this last game, it was only a 4-point loss. So two or three more possessions go your way. Maybe we're having a different discussion after that game last night against Boston. So it's going to be tough. These are teams that are hungry. Obviously the Spurs aren't in the playoff picture. Well, they actually are. They're in the playoff game right now. The playoffs were to begin today. But the Mavericks aren't in the playoff picture because they've been struggling lately to win games, and they're going to come in hungry. So match that intensity, get off to great starts. But I could see it going the way you're saying, where teams aren't super dominant at the five position or looking to bully you at the five position like the Mavericks and the Spurs. It may not be that much of an issue. LaMarcus Aldridge, Draymond usually handles him when it comes to the Spurs. So it could go that way, but I'm still going to be watching the rebounding right.
And points in the paint.
What other ways the size shows up?
Lack of points size. In the paint is points in the paint is going to be a big one. I think that's where it's going to show up. But hey, for a text from the 925 clinic, Clint Azubuki, my guest here on the roundtable line, Tim Roy, and he wants to know, or he or she wants to know, who do you think is the most improved player on the Warriors this season? I'll let you take the first stab at that.
The most improved player on the Warriors this season. Wow. I mean, if we go with recency bias, Juan Toscano, he played incredible last game. But most improved. That's a tough one.
Yeah, you know, I think you probably go with Wiggins just because he's so much more consistent. And I think he's one that you could look at.
Yeah, I was going to say him defensively, just the awareness he's had and how consistent he's been on that end. You can't really say Eric Paschal because he had a great season last year. Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to go with Andrew Wiggins. I mean, he was scoring it pretty well last year too, Andrew Wiggins was, but he has been really consistent. So I'm just going to go with his defense because offensively we knew what he was capable of there. But I'm just going to go with the way he's defending and deflections and block shots and all those different things. I don't really see anyone on the roster where I'm going, oh, man, they're almost surprising me this year with the jump they've taken. Damian Lee had a great season last year. Ken Bazemore is new here this year. He wasn't here. So, yeah, I would go with Andrew's defense. It's been really a revelation. He's showing that he can be a bona fide two-way player, and he's got us all thinking about next season when he's playing with Clay. Clay in that third quarter was talking about how he looks forward to that and being on the court with Andrew Wiggins and how his shooting is going to open up the floor for him. And Andrew's athleticism is going to open up the floor for Clay. It's going to be fun to watch. So I'll go with Andrew's defense.
You know, you mentioned Clay, and I know that he was with you guys the other night. I didn't get a chance, obviously, to see it because we're on the air at the same time. But I wanted to know, from your perspective, what is he going through? You went through a major knee injury and you know, I'm at a slug level, playground Y level. I went through five knee surgeries. But tell me,
five?
So I know a little bit. Yeah, five. Five. Two, three ACLs, by the way. So,
mine was like three major ones, but yeah.
yours were a little more dramatic than mine. But what I wanted to ask you though is what is he going through mentally? You know, because when you play it, I can only imagine playing at the level that you played at or that Clay plays at, and to have that taken away, that gift. You know, what is he going through mentally right now?
It's tough for him. Mentally is really one of the biggest aspects of rehab and coming back full strength from one injury like that, not to talk about two back-to-back. And I think the biggest thing he was fighting probably was the frustration because he was coming back from that ACL, he was playing, and then to have the Achilles go, and he just had to be super frustrated, and he's thinking probably, I mean, can I catch a break, please? And it's a major injury, the Achilles is. So I think one of the things, too, is just not depression, because I don't think Clay is that type of dude that fights depression and is naturally someone that gets down pretty easily. But there's some pretty dark days when it comes to injuries, because you're going to rehab and it's so tedious and redundant. You feel like you're doing the same thing every day, and it's hard to see the incremental improvements you're making. You almost have to just keep clocking in and then look back after a couple of months to see the improvement, to see how you're getting stronger, to see how the muscles around the Achilles are getting stronger, to see the improvements. Otherwise, it just feels like you're doing the same thing every day, and it gets super boring. He talked about how boring it is, because he's a fun-loving guy. He's active, and you can hear it in his voice. He's bored at times, and just talking. He was saying, like, man, I can't do anything. I'm just in this boot. It stinks, and you can hear it. So I feel bad for him, and I think it takes a mentally tough, really mentally tough person to get through that and really stick to getting your work done every single day and do all the tedious and redundant little movements and motions that you have to do in rehab. It starts super small, doesn't even feel like you're really doing anything. It feels pointless at first, especially with an injury like that, where you're literally rebuilding pretty much all the muscles and the strength and everything like that. And so you're starting from ground zero. So you're doing things that you don't even feel like is helping at first with an Achilles injury. And so going through all that, it's obviously not easy to do it. It takes a lot of mental fortitude and a lot of mental strength. And we've seen that Clay is a mentally strong human being. And then also the pain tolerance. I think it does take a certain amount of pain tolerance. And we know Clay has a ton of tolerance when it comes to pain, and he's one of the toughest right. people we all know. So once the doctor or once your surgeon says you can do something, like, I was the type of guy that was just like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I don't care how much it hurts. If they're saying, yeah, it's going to be painful, but it's good and you'll get strong, yeah, I'm doing it. And I think that's going to be Clay's mentality. He's going right. to go full throttle. Whatever they tell him he's able to do, no matter how much it hurts, that's what he's going to be doing. So that's a little bit of what he's dealing with. And again, I told him, I think we all feel that he's going to come back 110%. And I'm really encouraged. And I think he is too, by seeing Kevin Durant come back strong and guys like that. And obviously John Wall playing well, he looks pretty fast and bouncy as well. So we know it can be done, and the way Clay takes care of his body, you got to think he's going to be next in line to come back after a major injury like an Achilles and be 100% and be super athletic and be able to get right. to his spots and not have to think about it.
Well, I appreciate your time, Clint. I'm way overdue for a break, but I was really enjoying the conversation. Best of luck with Bob on NBC Sports Bay Area. I know you guys are going to do a good job every night, and look forward to the time where we can do this on the road over a meal. That would be a lot of fun.
Seriously, man, we need to get back to normal. Yeah, appreciate you, Tim. Good talking to you, brother.
Thank you, Clint. Clint Azubuki from NBC Sports Bay Area talking some Warriors basketball. Went a little bit long with that, and we've got bills to pay and things to tell you about, and that's going to come next here on the Warriors Roundtable. I'm Tim Roy on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
If you've just joined us, don't worry. Tim Roy has saved you a seat.
Sit down.
Sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
Sit down.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
Sit down.
Now on 95.7, The Game. It's your voice of the Warriors.
Got it! From downtown.
Tim Roy. Tim Roy.
Now that I've been coaching for a while, this is my seventh year, I would just say that coaching Steph is really amazing for me, because it just makes everything easy. Steph makes everything easy. You know, just his presence, you know, his incredible play. The job just is so much easier when he is the face of the franchise. And I would say that's true for me. It's true for Bob Myers. It's true for Joe Lacob. true for, you know, everybody in our organization, that we've just been blessed with Steph's presence and what he's done for the culture, the foundation.
That's head coach Steve Kerr. And, of course, last night, Steph Curry passing the 17,000-point plateau. Only Wilt Chamberlain has done that in Golden State, or not Golden State, but in Warriors franchise history. And so Steph's hunting him down. He's chasing down the Big Dipper. I never thought we'd ever see somebody attack the Big Dipper in the Warriors record book. And Steph Curry is doing that. Again, 888-957-9570. If you have a second, you want to do something to get your thoughts in, or either on the text line or as a caller, we could do that here on the Warriors Roundtable. Tim Roy, got just a couple of minutes. Damian Treasure Hunt on Twitter wants to know, if the Warriors don't get Minnesota's pick this year, which would be in the top three, what happens? Then it goes unprotected the following year. So, again, I just think it was a genius trade by the Warriors front office when, you know, Bob Myers, Joe Lacob, everybody concerned. That was just it fit the Warriors. Andrew Wiggins is proving to be what they thought he could be, and they have that draft pick in their back pocket. Now, let's get to a couple of things here. First of all, I can tell you that Dub Nation, you can celebrate Black History Month with some Golden State Warriors flair by grabbing a Black History Month T-shirt from Fizzle. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to the Warriors Community Foundation annual grant program, which partners with several organizations that support the Black community. Shop online tonight at shop.warriors.com. I can tell you from personal experience, I've had the pleasure of calling some of these organizations when the Warriors are able to hand out some grant money to deserving, you know, nonprofits, and it's just great to hear how excited they get that the Warriors Community Foundation is able to help them in a positive way, making the Bay Area an even better place to be. Now, before I get to the upcoming schedule, let's get to the Kaiser Permanente scoreboard and the Dallas Mavericks, whom the Warriors will play tomorrow night. They're in Atlanta right now, and it's 117-114. Trae Young just hit a bucket with 24 seconds to go. The Hawks were down big. They have rallied back to make the final 24 seconds really interesting. A foul, and we're going to get free throws for the Mavs for Josh Richardson with 23.7 to go. L.A. Clippers leading the Cleveland Cavaliers 101-88. That's in the fourth. Fourth quarter, Washington is on top of Miami 85-83. Fourth quarter, the New York Knicks 97, Chicago 85. And in Oklahoma City, the Thunder are blowing out Houston 90-67. And in the third quarter, Minnesota 72, San Antonio 63. Warriors will see the Spurs on this road trip as well. Finals from earlier tonight, Philadelphia won in Charlotte 118-111, 34 points, 11 boards for Joel Embiid. Milwaukee 130, Indiana 110, and that brought Giannis Antetokounmpo with 21 points, 14 boards, 10 assists. First quarter in New Orleans, Pelicans 16, Suns 15. Later start, Boston in Sacramento. No Kemba Walker tonight for the Celtics. He is getting his knee injury management is the term. Now, the Warriors head on the road. Let's take a look at that and the upcoming broadcast, starting with tomorrow night. The Warriors play two games in Dallas. And when you play in Dallas, I looked this up today, Luka Doncic is third in the league in points created off assists because he makes plays like this.
Here comes Luka up the right side, up top, Cauley-Stein dunks it, and again, the high pick and roll destroying the Pacers tonight.
Yeah, just no help back behind.
And that gives Luka the triple-double, his fifth triple-double of the season, tying him with Nikola Jokic for the league lead.
4 o'clock airtime tomorrow, 4:30 with the tip. And then on Saturday, 5 o'clock airtime, 5:30 with the tip. Warriors in Dallas to take on the Mavericks. And Monday, back-to-back Monday and Tuesday in San Antonio, where you have to contain DeMar DeRozan.
DeRozan against Harris. Backing him down in the paint. Stops, pops a short jumper. That's good for DeMar DeRozan. 30 points for DeRozan. 3-point lead for the Spurs.
And 5 o'clock airtime on both days, Monday and Tuesday, 5:30 with the tip. Warriors and the Spurs back on the roundtable next Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And we can tell you that the Warriors trying to do something on this road trip without their fives. No Marquise Chris, no Kevon Looney, no James Wiseman. We'll see how they do, and it should be a very interesting road trip. And certainly if the Warriors come back, I think, even with a 2-2 record on this trip, then I think they should be very, very happy about that. Time up next, the final word. John Dickinson, Ryan Covey. They talk a lot of Warriors basketball in the weekdays, and they'll be talking some more this week. But join them in just a couple of moments. I want to thank Bobby Spang for all his work at the board tonight on our flagship station. The show produced by R.C. Davis. The C stands for Cuddles. And also semi-produced by a future host on Turner Classic Movies, and that is James Kincaid. I'm Tim Roy for Andrew Wiggins and Kalena Azubuki, and thank you as always for listening to the Warriors Roundtable right here on your home for the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.